Why don't we lift up our hands and praise the Lord right now? He deserves all of our praise. All of our praise that we can give him right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're awesome. Thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord, and your mercy in our life. Where would we be? Where would we be? You think back, you know, this is New Year's Day, and often it makes us reflect on where God has brought us from. Aren't you glad has brought you to church? He's brought you into the family and the kingdom of God. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. One more time, give him a big hand out of thankfulness. We're thankful to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's our pleasure, Sister Cottrell and I. It's a pleasure to be with you today here in Elkhart. And I am so sorry that the Johnson family, that they are sick. And I brought my cootie cream just in case, you know. I started calling it that during COVID. It's, you get these from, what is that fancy women's place? Bath and Body. I just carry it. I know it smells like strawberries, but it's okay. But I just keep refilling it and shake hands with somebody, and I just put it on and just having fun here today. But we're so sorry the Johnsons are sick. What a great pastor and pastor's wife, assistant pastor and pastor's wife, just the Johnson family. You're awesome. You guys really are. Amen. And we even had a little bit of help of getting Titus to pastor in Sandwich, Illinois. My wife's sister goes to church there, active members there, and she called me, says, there's a Johnson from your area that's trying out for our church. What do you know about him? I said, elect him, elect him. And if he's a Johnson, he's okay. So, but we're so sorry that Brother Johnson, your pastor, is not feeling well today. And I'm glad that I can just step in, and I can't do as good as your pastor, but I'll try my best today. Just so good to be here once again. And Happy New Year! And we pray that this is a better year than you've ever had before. Thank you for coming out. I am the only thing that's standing between some of you and your family time and family meal. Maybe you've got plans to go out and eat at maybe White Castle or someplace. But we're going to go home and have a family meal and just enjoy the day. But before that, we get to have church. What a better way to start the year than in God's presence. If you put my title up today, amen, I want to preach on the subject of being set free in 23. Set free in 2023. Would you say that with me? Set free in 2023. Amen. Now, my title slide reminds us of what happens during the wintertime around here in northern Indiana, right? Don't we love it? I like snow. I just don't like that cold wind like we had a couple weeks ago. But, you know, we get snowed in. We wake up and we got 12 or 18 inches out there in the ground, and we get stuck in the snow. We start shoveling, right? Anybody ever been there? Right. Especially if you park your car outside, you know what it's like. But you've ever been stuck in the snow, or even sometimes get stuck in the snow, but you rock your car back and forth and you spin your tires. It seems like it just gets deeper and deeper. You get frustrated, but finally you get set free. That's what I want to talk about today, being set free in 23. This can be the best year you've ever had walking with God. This can be the year that you get closer to God and more involved in the church and more committed than you've ever been before. And maybe you're fighting some battles and situations that you don't think are ever going to get better. I want you to know when you put it in the Lord's hands, He'll help take care of it. You may not know all the details, but He does. He knows about it before you do. And so you can be set free in 23. Couple of years ago, I have a little truck. It's little. It's about the smallest they make. It's a little 1998 GMC pickup, and I got it stuck in the snow. I am an avid deer hunter, and I thought I would take a different trail to try to get around the snow. And so I kind of stayed on top of the hill, riding back around the cornfields. And as I got to a certain place, the hill, and I started sliding kind of a 45-degree angle down the hill. And that truck is so light. I mean, the wheels spin even when the grass is wet during a rainstorm.
It is so light. I've put it in gear before and pushed it. And, then run and get in the driver's seat. It is so light. But I got stuck about 100 yards off the main road. And the more I tried, to spin, I put rocks and I put corn stalks. I put everything under those tires. It didn't help. I was completely buried. My tires up to the rear wheels were completely buried in the snow. And so I had to fight my manly ego. And I had to call for somebody that had a four-wheel drive pickup to come get me. And, of course, they drove right out. They had a nice pickup, big wheels, four-wheel drive. They drove right through the 2 feet of snow that was there. And they had to literally drag me back. My truck just slid all the way back to the main road. I couldn't get any traction in the snow. And I was a little bit embarrassed. But I was cold and I was tired. But I learned my limitations with that truck. You just don't go anywhere if it's wet. Just even do on the grass. Just don't drive it, But I finally got unstuck. I finally got set free. Well, today is New Year's Day. It's a brand new start for everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a brand new start. Brand new start. I mean it today. This isn't just a message. It sounds nice. Gonna make you feel good. I am encouraging you today to make that decision to understand I have a brand new start with the Lord and in my family and in my own life. Amen. You can be set free and get going forward in our life again. It's so much, so much. It's not just a New Year's resolution. It's a decision. Anybody ever make a resolution and then didn't keep it? Last night we had our watch night service and we had a little fellowship and we prayed the new year out and thank God it was gone and the new year was coming in and thank the Lord, and we had some cookies and I was eating some cookies and one of them said, Brother Cottrell, is that a New Year's resolution for you to go on a diet? I said, yes, I started it in November. And anybody ever break a resolution? Yeah, we all have. Those are like, that's New Year jokes. It's what they are. But if you make a decision, there's something about making that decision. It's a more commitment to it. So turn to your neighbor and with full sincerity, I want you to say to them, be set free in 23. Be set free in 23. Be set free in 23. Come on. Be set free in 23. Jesus gives us a solution. How to get out of a rut. Jesus gives us, amen, the solution to how to kick bad habits or how to get going forward once, amen, again in our walk with Him. Maybe we have not where we used to be with the Lord, but I'll tell you what, if you're here in the auditorium or you're watching online, amen, I always want to get closer to Him, don't you? Come on, yeah, I do. I want to get closer to Him, as close as He'll let me be. My text today comes out of Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to start reading in verse 28 through 30. Thank you for the sound crew and all the media. They helped me out this morning and during the service. Matthew chapter 11, he said, and starting in verse 28, wow, come unto me. We could stop right there and say, wow. You know what? That's how he finished the book, also in the book of Revelation. The last chapter, some of the last verses, he said, guess what? I'm coming. Amen. You come to me, and then I'm going to come to you. Praise God. But he says, come unto me, all ye that labor or are heavy laden, that you just pressured down. Amen. You're just under anxiety, maybe a little depression. And he says, and I will give you rest. If you get stuck, you can be set free, he's telling us. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Wow. Amen. We can get rest in our body, which is great, but when you get rest in your souls, it's a whole lot better. And he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of you understand that Jesus wants to help us? He really does. He wants to help us. He's on our side. I read a funny illustration the other day, and I've heard it used in other sermons before, but it was new to me, but it says that a pet store truck was going down the road at a very quick pace, but every stoplight, every red light that the driver would get out of this pet store truck, He'd get out, and he would frantically start banging on the back of the truck, on the side, just bang, 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 and all around, bang the back of it, bang the sides of it, as long as the light was red. And then he'd jump back inside and drive down the road until the next red light, get out, bang on the sides and bang on the back and so forth. And finally somebody says, "What in the world are you doing?" And he said, "Well," he says, "this is only a 2-ton truck, and I'm carrying 4 tons of yellow canaries. So I got to keep 2 tons of them in the air at any time or my truck will break down." Now you got to think about that a little bit. Do your math. But that's the way life is sometimes. You ever feel like you just are juggling things? You're running from one thing to the next and one thing to the next. And you fall in bed at night and you're just desperately tired. But everything's going in, you know, you got to keep everything in the air so life just won't come crashing down, especially if you have children or especially if you got a lot of people that live in your house. You know, you're out there beating yourself up because you just don't want to get stuck. Like that picture of that car in the snow, we get stuck in life and we have a breakdown. Our human nature, we have a tendency to get overwhelmed. We have a tendency to say yes and not no, right? Somebody asks us to do something, we say, "Oh yeah, I'll be glad to do that." And in the middle of your word saying, "I wish they wouldn't have asked me. It's another thing. I don't need that thing to do." You know what I'm saying? We have a tendency to take on way too much and we get stuck in our habits and our relationships, and grief will get a hold on us and anger will get a hold of us. And you know, at work, they want you to be married to work, and we get sexual addictions. We get stuck in our hurt feelings, whatever. It's a vicious cycle that we hope that will come to an end someday. But you know what I'm talking about here this morning. You're probably thinking about what you're going through right now. Probably in your mind, you're thinking, "Yeah, I know exactly what Brother Cottrell's talking about. I'm way overwhelmed. Just getting home today and everything I got to get done today is just overwhelming to me." That we get stuck in some kind of a problem. We get to feeling guilty or angry that we just can't change the situation. I recently was reaching out to a person that had missed church for many, many months, and finally they just admitted me after I was calling and texting them every single week. They finally just said, "You know what? I'm just lazy. I've just become so complacent. I just got lazy. I just stopped coming to church. And then now I feel guilty that if I walk in, people are going to say, 'Where in the world have you been?'" You know what? That's not what people are going to think. They're going to say, "Man, I'm so glad to see you this morning. We're so glad you're here." But that's from the enemy. The enemy lies to us and makes us feel guilty and makes us feel overwhelmed. Amen. But you know what? We get depressed. We get to thinking about everything we got to do. And the list is so long. And the more we focus on that list, the more depressed we get. And the deeper we get buried in, you get stuck even further. So how do we get set free? Come on. It's not enough just to read Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It's not even enough to know that God is there for you. We've got to take some actions. Amen. I'm going to preach and teach a little bit today. Amen. Somebody said, "Are you going to teach and preach both sessions today?" I said, "No, I'm just going to preach for 3 hours. They didn't respond at all. I said, "No, not really." But we've got to take some actions. We've got to start making some correct, godly decisions to get the Lord's help. You hear me now? Make godly decisions, right decisions, giving ourselves to the Lord, coming to the Lord, submitting ourselves to Him, and then He will help us. So I believe this year is a year, man, Jesus could come. Wow. I mean, all the prophecies have been fulfilled. Everything that's enlisted in the book right here has been fulfilled. There's stuff going on crazy in our world now I never thought would ever happen in America and in the rest of the world. Does anybody else see what I'm seeing? What's going on? I mean, Jesus could come this year with all this crazy stuff. So we need to get closer to Him than we've ever been before. And it's not enough just to know that there's a heaven before us. We've got to take some actions and make sure that when the rapture trumpet happens, that I'm leaving this old place, that my feet are going to leave the ground, that I'm going to walk on those streets of gold. Amen. I got to take some actions. I got to make some right, godly decisions to make sure I get there. So the first thing Jesus told us to do in Matthew 11, 28, He said this: "Come unto me." Everybody say, "Come." "Come unto me." We got to go to Him. "All of you who are weary and overburdened, I will give you rest. You know, life is a whole less frustrating when you give Jesus a chance to be part of your life. When you turn your life over to him and Jesus is first. Jesus said, I want to make your life easier. I want to help you bear a part of your load. I want to help you get unstuck. I want to help you be set free from the things that are holding you down. Jesus said, I can help lighten your load. I can give you some relief from your stress. I can rejuvenate you once again. I can take care of you. If you just give me a chance, come unto me. Come unto me. Life is so much easier when Jesus is behind the steering wheel in our life. You know, for many times, man, we're so guilty of it. We move Jesus to the back seat and we tell him to sit down and be quiet like we tell our kids. You can't do that anymore, folks. Come on. Tell your neighbor, we got to have a come to Jesus meeting. Amen. We got to have a come to Jesus meeting. Whether it's in an altar, whether it's in your home or someplace, you got to get down on your knees and talk to God and get it right with him and have a come to Jesus meeting. And for too long, amen, we've tried to do it our way and it just does not work. We got to come to him. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap today because he's given us a chance. He's given us an opportunity. And in 2023, I believe we're going to be set free. Something is happening right now I think is really, really cool. They're testing self-driving cars right now, self-driving cars. In fact, we have a fellow from our church that lives in San Francisco, and he works, he's very intelligent, and he's actually working on cars that hydroplane. You've been on hydroplaning boats that go across the water. They don't touch the water, but just the air. And so he's beyond the self-driving part of cars. They drive themselves. He is doing the ones that they don't even have tires on them. They just hydroplane with like airfoil across the roads and take you everywhere. That's what he's working on at a company there. But, you know, with these self-driving cars that they're working on, is I think is really cool. But yet it's kind of scary too. You know, you think about it, all you do is just get in the car, sit back, enjoy the ride, and the car just is controlled by a satellite, just like your GPS. Trouble is, has anybody here ever argued with your GPS? Yeah. I argue with mine all the time where my wife says, why don't you just turn the thing off if you know where you're going to go? You know? In fact, I checked my GPS today. I've been to this church many times, but sometimes construction. So I typed in about Middlebury Street coming here. And on your website, it says church is closed today. I'm so glad it's not closed today. Amen. I thought I'm going to be the only one there preaching if they're closed today. But the GPS and everything got me here today. I mean, just like I knew I would, but I argue with the GPS. Now, just think about if you had a self-driving car. Man, now that's a little scary. It's a little, you know, then they have made them to where that if you think there's a problem, if it's not going to stop or if it's going in the other lane or there could be a problem, all you have to do is grab the steering wheel or touch the brake, and then you have complete control again. But they've made them to where they are just self-sufficient. They take care of themselves. Well, I was at the South Bend Airport parking lot last year, and I was waiting for, you know, I was standing in the parking lot with all my luggage, getting ready to go in the terminal, and I was waiting. There was a white car just slowly coming along, and the white car went by me, and as I looked at the driver, there was no driver. And the car just went right by me, and I just watched as it turned the curve, went down back out of the main traffic, you know, up in South Bend. And I thought, that car didn't have a driver in it. And, you know, I was getting ready to call 911. Now there's a car on the loose, you know, out there. But they've made these cars in our area, self-driving cars. No driver, they're self-driving. We know what Jesus doesn't want to become. Amen. For us to become self-drivers. He wants us to sit back and let him do the driving. We got to give him control. We've got to trust him in our marriage. We got to trust him in our finances. We got to trust him in our life and our jobs. Amen. We got to let him be the driver. Amen. So can the year 2023 be the kind of year that you want for you? Can you let go and let God have control next year? Come on. You got to make that decision. And today is the first day for you to say, God, I'm listening to the Pastor Cottrell. I'm listening to what he's got to say. Amen. Most of our problems we have and we get stuck in is because we made some bad decisions or something was out of our control. But now is the time to say, I'm going to be set free from this thing that's holding me back. This thing that's not trusting God. This thing that I'm holding on to, amen, I need to let go of, I'm going to let God take over. Jesus said, come unto me in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Another translation says it this way. Come to me, all you that are tired from heavy burdens and you have been forced to carry. Man, here we are. I will give you rest. But man, don't we love to hang on to things? We just like to be in control. We just like to just be the one that, especially we men, I don't know, I'm going to talk about me and men here a little bit today, but we got to be in control. We got to be in charge. It's my life, you know, and so forth. In my 30s, which was a few years ago, I decided I wanted to learn to water ski. So I put on some, you know, lightweight pants, and I put on my blue, you know, Hanes t-shirt, and I told the driver of the boat, not any lessons, just I see the other people do it, I can do it. Looks easy enough to me, you know, I'm an athletic person, and I can do a lot of stuff, so okay, hit it, driver, take off. Oh, man, if you have any water skiers here, you know. I tried and I tried and I tried, but I couldn't keep my knees together once they got to the top of the water. I'd get so far up, as soon as my knees would reach the top of the water, whoop, and I'd just go face forward in the ground and into the water. And you know, I was always embarrassed, but there's one thing they forgot to tell me when I fell. It's a major thing to do if you're water skiing, and they forgot to tell me. They forgot to tell me, if you fall, let go of the rope. And man, I was hanging on for life. I don't know, going through that water 30, 40 mile an hour, you know. And at that speed, the force of the water makes your mouth come open, and you basically swallow half of the lake. I was taking seaweed and all that stuff out of my pocket of my t-shirt, you know. It was full. I was swallowing muddy water. I was sick. And after four or five attempts of my legs doing the splits and couldn't stand up, I said, I've had enough. I'm sick. You know, we just love to hang on to things. Folks, it's time to let go. Amen. Let God take control of your life. Come on. Can you let go and let God have control of your home, your life, your heart, your finances, your marriage? Let him have control. Let go. It's much easier if he's the boss of your life. I'm going to talk about three things quickly here today. What keeps us from letting go? What keeps us just hanging on to something we know we need to let go of? Well, the number one thing I think is just good old pride. That word even sounds bad. Pride. I wonder what language it is. We say it in English, but it's probably some kind of Italian word. Who knows? But we all have to deal with it. Pride. One author said, nothing is so hard to do gracefully as getting down off our high horse. We all got those high horses. A prideful person is always blaming others. They don't take accountability for their own failures. Pride. Proverbs 18:12 says it this way. Before destruction, the heart of the man is haughty. It's lifted up. It's self-contained. But then it tells us, but we need to have, if you want honor, then you've got to be humble. Amen. 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 So once somebody said, if you're not ready to give God control of your life, you might just need a greater dose of pain, and that'll get your attention. And that's usually what happens. We get deeper and deeper into problems and difficulties to finally we run to God, and we say, God, you know, I give up. You got to take control. How much easier life would be if we just give him control from the start? Come on, you could be set free in 23. Amen. If you just get rid of that old stinking pride. Amen. Lay that pride down and say, God, you're in charge of my life. You're in charge. You're my driver, God. Amen. You tell me where to go and what to do. The second thing that will cause us from not letting go is guilt. Man, anybody deal with guilt? I deal with guilt. Anybody? Am I the only one? So you're guilty enough, you don't even want to raise your hands. guilt from things of the past. And boy, the devil has a way of reminding us about our past. I just like to, when the devil reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future and he shuts up for a while. But Psalms 40, verse 12. It's important. I'm going to read this slowly so we can really catch every word. For innumerable evils, man, you can't count them all, have compassed or surrounded about me about. Mine iniquities, that means my self-rebellious will. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able even to look up. I'm so depressed I can't even lift up my head. They are more than the hairs on my head, therefore my heart faileth me. Boy, haven't we all been ashamed of something we've said or something we've done in the past? And then that guilt comes along and it can get so heavy and just gets knock us down and hold us down. Do we even feel guilty if we don't even feel like we can even pray anymore? Don't feel like we can even talk to God anymore? That's from the devil too, that says God don't want to hear you pray. And God don't want you to go to church. He won't hear you praying. And those people will look at you and wonder where you've been. That's all of the enemy. Amen. Guilt, guilt, guilt. Amen. We get embarrassed and we maybe broke some promises to people or even to God. And we forget that God, amen, with God there is no sin that he cannot forgive. But the enemy gets us trapped by guilt, sending us down that guilt road. If you're on that road today, I want you to know that you could be set free from it. You just need to pull over the side of the road right now in your spirit and say, God, I'm tired of traveling down this road. I know I've messed up in the past, but God, I'm going to get right with you. I'm going to be set free in 23. I'm going to start doing what I know. I'm going to start making the right decisions in 23. It's time to get rid of guilt. Come on. And the way it happens is a good old plain repentance. Good old getting on your face before God and repenting and shedding a few tears. You know, repentance is one of the best deals that God ever gave mankind. I repent every day. I just try to make sure every day my heart and my mind is clean and right with God. Repentance is more than just saying you're sorry or feeling you're sorry, but you've actually got to start making some decisions and making some changes and start doing right. It's in the doing, making godly decisions and then making godly actions. But I'll tell you what, pride and guilt will be some of your biggest roadblocks to get around. We're talking about being set free in 23, and the good things of God will start coming your way when you start doing it God's way. Quickly, let me remind you what the Bible says, and the sound crew doesn't have these scriptures. You don't have to turn there, but John 1:29 tells us God takes away our sin. Hebrews 10:17 tells us Jesus has forgiven us. Acts 2:38 and Isaiah 1:18 tells us he's washed away, amen, our sins. Isaiah 43:25 tells us God has taken away with an eraser and wiped them all away, amen. Isaiah 55:7 tells us God has pardoned us. Micah 7:19 reminds us my sins are buried in the depths of the sea. God's been so good to me, more than this world's been bad to me. Come on, we win every time we serve the Lord. Oh yes, the world beats up on us. Amen. The world gives us burdens, but God gives us blessings. If we just start doing it his way, focus on God. Amen. Amen. Start repenting. Repenting every day. It was the Apostle Paul that said, I die daily. He was saying, I die out this old flesh. I set this flesh down every day and I pray and I repent. Amen. We can be set free from the things holding us down. And the third and last reason that we hesitate to let go from coming to Jesus is fear. Fear. Wow. Fear. It's like the guy that fell off a cliff and he slipped and fell off the side of the hill, and on the way down he grabbed a branch. If it was me, I'd be out of luck. The branch couldn't hold my weight, but he was light enough that he got a hold of a branch and he's hanging there for dear life. He starts yelling, help! Somebody help me! And he yelled and yelled and yelled, and finally there was a voice from up above that he couldn't see, and it said, hey, this is the Lord. Trust me, and just let go of that branch, and I'll catch you. And the man hesitated for a little while, and he thought. He looked down at that 500-foot drop. He looks back up the hill and he yells out, is there anybody else up there with another opinion? Sometimes we treat God like that. We know what he wants us to do. He's told us what we ought to do. But we just keep seeking for other opinions. Amen. Sometimes fear keeps us from letting go and coming to God. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us that spirit of fear. I looked up that word fear in the Greek. It's not like the kind of fear you go hide in a corner someplace and afraid and tremble and shake. That word fear comes from the Greek word means timidity. For God has not given us timidity. It's talking about being a witness. Amen. You go, God says, go witness to that person. Go tell them how God has been. Amen to you. And timidity takes over. You know, that is a learned experience. Somewhere along the line, as a child or teenager or whatever, we've learned to get timid. We've learned to be afraid. We've learned to stop talking about the Lord because maybe somebody rejected us or we're afraid that we'll get rejected. That's not of God. It says he has not given us that spirit of timidity, of that fear, but of what? Of power. You look up that word power. It comes from the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. In other words, you've got life-changing power, influence in you when you get the Holy Ghost. So God has not given us that spirit that says, be quiet, don't tell anybody about God, don't talk about God. But yeah, it says, you've got the power to make a difference, and you've got the power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a scripture that I had, and I read it a lot when we were going through the major COVID outbreak, 2 Corinthians 10:5. It was an anchor in my spirit the last couple years, and maybe you want to look at that, and maybe you want to circle it in your Bible or write it down, but 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says this, casting down imaginations. We could stop right there and have a week's Bible study, couldn't we? Cast down everything high that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, what God is telling you, and then bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All those thoughts, all those imaginations, just get a hold of them and bring them to an altar and say, God, I'm not going to believe those lies anymore. I'm not going to believe that guilt and fear, amen, all that stuff anymore. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to depend upon you, God. Amen. I'm going to be set free in 23. I'm going to cast down. I'm going to bring those things into captivity. They're not going to control my life anymore. Amen. 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 Band, but you know what? We are controlled by something or someone always. And I was telling my wife, we were talking on the way up here this morning, and I said, you know, we are a product of our past by our experiences and people who raised us and taught us. We are a product. So we are controlled all the time by something or someone, by others' opinions. Maybe you're controlled by hurts, things that you just can't get away from. Maybe controlled by bad habits or even our own egos. They all control us in some form and some way. But Jesus gave us the solution. He said, come unto me. He said, let me have control, and life will be a whole lot easier if you just come to me. Come to me. It's like taking out a blank check from your checkbook and signing it and hand it to God and say, God, amen, it all belongs to you. My money, my life, my heart, my marriage, everything belongs to you, God. You just take care of it. 1 Peter 5:7 says it this way, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yes, you. He cares for you. And when the devil starts saying, nobody understands, and nobody cares, and nobody from the church has called me, nobody cares about me, that's a lie from the enemy. The Lord cares for you, and the people of this church cares for you. Amen. I want to take everybody to heaven that I know. What about you? And I truly hope that you can hear my voice and give yourself, amen, a chance to start over today, because life is a whole lot easier when Jesus is the boss. I want to listen, what you listen real carefully, especially, like I said, we men, because we men have a bigger problem with this usually than women do. Sometimes we men get confused the decision-making process mixed up with the problem-solving process. God made us to be problem solvers, men. My wife, you know, she would be just talking. Women like to talk. Thank God they have husbands and so forth they can talk to. Well, she would learn after a while that she would just be talking, didn't really want anything done, just was talking, and I would leave and start fixing. So she has finally learned to say, now, I'm just talking. You don't have to do anything about it. I'm just getting this out of my chest, my mind, just telling you thoughts, you know. Don't do anything. Don't go out and buy one. Don't go fix it. Don't do anything. I'm just talking, all right? Because God made us men to be fixers. We like to be problem solvers. And sometimes we get the decision-making process mixed up with the problem-solving process. And if we don't know the answers, then we just make a decision. And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good, sometimes we make no decision at all. We make decision not to make a decision, right? How many of you let a leaky faucet just leak for 6 months? Just didn't make decision to get up and do it. Now, unfortunately, I liked your faith statement up here. Talked about, I am a tither. Wow. You know, one of the strongholds in our life is our money. Yeah, our money. And I've seen men not give God their tithe, their 10%, because in their minds they can say, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to pay all my bills if I give God a tenth or a tithe of my money. It just doesn't make sense to me. Folks, it's all about trusting God with our money before we know the answer. We just got to make the decision to trust God, and then he will help us work out the details. You hear me? Amen. Amen. We like to be the problem solver, amen, before the decision is ever made. We just jump into right fixing a problem, and the problem is, I don't understand it, so I'm not doing it. Folks, pay your tithes. Pay your tithes. Give God his tenth. And you'll be amazed how he will be the answer. You'll be amazed how he'll come to your rescue. I had somebody just recently, a businessman in our church, he said, I don't know, he said, that the pastor told you or not? And I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, he says, I'm not going to tell you who or how much, but he said, the Lord laid it upon my heart to give three families in the church a good Christmas. They needed some money. They needed help. I could tell they needed help. They had children. So he says, I just went out and spent, and I know this man, it probably was thousands of dollars for every family. He said, I just went out and helped three families. I made Christmas for them. He said, you know, the next week, he said, I got three different issues, three different jobs, three different things came into his life that came back 15% more than what I gave on that Sunday to those families. He says, that very week, he obeyed God's voice. Amen. He didn't say, I don't know if I can afford it or not. He just obeyed God's voice. He gave it. He blessed it. And that week, 15% more than what he gave came back. Because God will work out, amen, the problem. He'll work out the details when you simply just obey him and trust him. Life is a whole lot easier when you make that decision to put him first and let him work out the details. I was only 8 years old back in 1963. All you mathematicians will figure that out, that I was born at 55. When John F. Kennedy publicly announced, we're going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. That was a decision. He wasn't an astronaut. He didn't work for NASA. He was the president. And he made the decision, we're going to put a man on that big white glowing thing up there in the sky within the next 10 years. Had he worked out all the problems? Had all the details been solved when he made that decision? Oh, no. Oh, no. Kennedy just said, we're going to do it. And then he let NASA figure out the details of the problem. And guess what? It happened. And I saw Neil Armstrong walk on the moon 6 years later. Don't confuse the decisions with solving the problems. You come to Jesus in 2023. Let him work out the details. Let him fix the problems. You just trust him and obey him and let him be the boss. And you start making the right decisions and leave the rest up to God. And oh, you'll see miracles come in your life. You'll see things happen that you'll never thought could have happened, amen, before. Have you ever made the decision to buy a house? How many of you in here have bought a house? Yeah, all around this place. Sure, we most of us have. You make that decision that you want to stop paying rent, you want to buy a house. So you go out and look for a house. Go out and look for a place that you want to spend your money on the rest of your life. And you go to the bank and you check out the finances and check out the interest rates and how much it would cost for a 30-year mortgage and a 15-year mortgage. And you get your pencil paper out and you get a loan and you go home and you start packing your boxes and either call either the moving truck or all your friends with pickups. And you fill out the change of address cards, and you know what? The details all get handled after you get that initial decision made, right? You really don't know. You know, you check on utilities, and you check how much insurance is going to be, but you really don't know how it's going to be truly until the first or second or third month and you get a handle on it, right? But you made the decisions. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a house. I'm telling you today, if you choose God in 2023, if you trust God in 23, you'll be set free in 23, and you'll get even more involved in church in 23 if you let Him have control and let Him work out the details, let Him work out the problems. Just make the decision to let Him be number one in your life. I'm coming to a close here, but I wanted you to read, amen, I want to read something to you, Philippians chapter 1, and also in Proverbs 3. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, I love this verse. I have it circled in my Bible. It says, being confident, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it or finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you start walking with God and start doing it his way, he'll take care of you until your feet leave the ground at the rapture of the church. Amen. Do it his way. I'm confident, Paul said, of that thing. I love what it says in Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 9. Proverbs 3, 3 through 9. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Man, don't ever forget about the mercy and truth that God has given you. Don't let them, amen, be forgotten. That he which hath, no, wait a minute, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor. Wow, that's another message I love to preach about, the favor of God. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not, man, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, give God control, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear God and depart from evil. And you shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And honor the Lord with thy substance and thy first fruits. That means tithing, amen, of all thine increase. Amen. I want you to write this down. Remember, put it on Facebook, whatever you want to do. This next sentence. When God becomes your favorite, then you become God's favorite. When God becomes your favorite, then you will become his favorite. And the favor of God comes upon you. I used to call it coincidences. Used to call it good luck. Just say, man, that was neat how that worked out. Now I understand it was the favor of God. The favor of God. Say it with me. Set free in 23. Say it. Set free in 23. Say it again. In finishing, let me tell you a story. Hope I've not gone too long today. In World War II, the Marines had a definite strategy that they used in the Pacific when they were retaking back the islands from the Japanese. They used the same strategy on every island that they came to, and it worked every time. First, they would go to the area of the island, and they would start bombing that island, and they called it the softening up period. They would just bomb and bomb. It might last for days, and bomb the Japanese soldiers on those islands. And today, my brother and sister-in-law have been missionaries in Japan for, what, 35 years, 38 years, long time. Amen. I've been to Japan. What an awesome city it is. Been to Tokyo. Man, you can drive for 2 hours and still be downtown. But it was a softening up period. They would bomb the island. Bombs. Some of you might be in that softening up period right now with all kinds of explosions and problems and situations that are happening in your life. You're just almost overwhelmed. You finally got to come to the point that you look up to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need help. This is beyond my help, Lord. I can't do it anymore, Lord. I need your help. Amen. Softens up your pride. The second phase, the Marines would then come to the island, land on the island, and they called it establish a presence on the beachhead. And it might only be just 20 yards in from the water, but 200 yards long, they would be on the beach. They would have a presence on that island. And at night, this is where they usually met the strong resistance from the Japanese army. They'd fight, but you know what? They had a mindset. They would never retreat. They would never quit. They would never give up. They'd stay right there and have that presence on that island and never, never, ever, ever quit. And they hadn't won a battle. Nope. They hadn't taken the island yet. Nope. But all they did was establish their presence. The Americans have landed on this island. And they're right there in front of the enemy. And that real fighting really began to start. I'll tell you what, if you really want to get the enemy upset, just start truly living for God. I've had people tell me when they backslid and went out in the world that they're happier than they'd ever been before. You know why? Because the devil now had control of their life. He stopped fighting them. If you've got the enemy fighting you, then thank God. You've got his attention. Amen. Sometimes I think I've got a target on my back. He knows where it's at, right? Some of you might be in the midst of a battle right now, but don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep coming to God. Keep coming to God. Get God's presence in your life. Trust him through the battle. Get a hold of him. Someday these Marines would move 100 yards forward and maybe then get nearer back 50 yards, but they never quit fighting. They just kept moving forward, foot by foot, yard by yard. My dad was in some of these battles, and he rarely told me any stories about World War II and how he would fight, but one thing that he operated was a flamethrower in the Philippines, those islands. And I won't go into his stories about what he told me, but his job was to flush out the enemy snipers that wouldn't give up, and he would use flamethrowers to get them and finish the sniper off. The Marine said this, quote, once they established a presence on the beachhead, total liberation of the island was inevitable. Once they established a presence, they never lost an island. It was just a matter of time that the entire island would be set free. So here we are today, first day of 2023. Folks, it's time to let go. It's time to establish God's presence in your life. Like never before, Jesus is coming. But before he comes, he wants you to come to him. It's time, it's past time. Allow God to come into your situation. If we could stand all over this auditorium right now and our musicians get ready to come. Hey, man, come on, come on. We got to allow God to come into your life, into your situation, into your problem, into your thing that you've got overwhelming in your life. Amen, amen, amen. You can't figure it out. Maybe you don't know what to do. Just make the decision to turn it over to God. God, I belong to you. Work out the details. Work out the problems, God. Just show me your way, God. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Just set him. Amen. Trust him, and he will set you free. Amen. Amen. Little by little, it's a process. When you get his presence in your life, little by little, you'll gain ground. And little by little, amen, you'll move forward, getting closer to Jesus. I know it's the flu season, so maybe you don't want to get real close. But I wonder if everybody could just make your way to the front and finish it here this morning. Amen. Just wave at people. Amen. Just maybe don't touch them, whatever. But amen. If our singers will get ready to sing here in just a moment. Oh, God, bring your problems to the Lord today. Bring your issues to the Lord. Your life, your heart, your health, your money, your marriage, whatever, amen, your fear, your guilt, whatever is holding you back, you got to give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. You're coming to God this morning. You're making your way to the front. Come on, just everybody, whether you're a first-time visitor or this is your home church, just come on down. Come on down. Just as a sign of faith that you're going to live for the Lord. You know, this life that we're living right now is just a test. And this Bible is our instructions manual. Yeah, right here. It tells us how to get ready for real life and eternity. This is just the testing period. This is just the trusting period. Amen. And we trust God. And that rapture happens. The second coming of the Lord Jesus comes back. Then we get to find out what real life is going to be about. 2 Timothy 3:16. I love it, this verse. Another one I got circled in my Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's good. It's beneficial for what? Doctrine. For reproof. Correction. For correction. And it says for instruction in righteousness. Wow. I want God to instruct me. So let go of the things that you might be stuck with down here. And make that decision to be set free in 23 and admit to God you need His help. Don't go backwards. Don't give up on holiness because somebody's opinion is different than yours. Listen to your pastor. Let him preach to you, amen, about your money and your job and how you wear and how what you wear and how you treat other people. Amen. This word will teach you. Don't let sin, don't give in to sin. Amen. But hold on to God's presence. Right now, we ought to be talking to God. Amen. Lord, I want you to be in my life, God. Amen. Worship and pray and study the word. And amen. Make right decisions. Repent every day. Repent every day. Get your heart right with God every day. God will figure out the details, but the choice is yours. The choice is yours. I'm going to be set free in 23. This is going to be the best year spiritually I've ever had in my life, God. Amen, amen. Let's sing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just sing it and tell the Lord that's what you mean to say.
Holy Spirit, lead us.
Lead us.
To the heart of Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We want
more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for.
Lift up your voice, lift up your hand to God right now. Surrender unto God. I'm going to start this year out right. I'm going to start this year out right, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let His presence take over.
Strip away.